In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Today's gospel, of course, has a personal message for us. But it also lends itself very well to sort of traditional exegesis, in which you kind of come up with a outline of the things that the gospel says. And so I thought I would try that, because I always want to teach you to read the scriptures with attention and with anticipation. And perhaps you've never ever been able to sort of look at the scriptures in an organized way. I've done it before, but I don't do it too much anymore. I sort of just take it all in at once. It's sort of like a sunset to me. I don't look at a particular part of the sunset. I see it all at once. But this gospel truly has some various parts to it that are very instructive. And then, at the end, we're going to talk about, well, so what? What's it all mean? What am I going to do? That's what you should be thinking every time you read the gospel, is what am I going to do with this information that I am learning? So, the young man comes to the Lord. In another place, he's called a young ruler. So he's an educated Jewish elite and rich. And he's pious. And he wants to be saved. So he asked the Lord a question. And that question is one of his many errors. So you could, if you were having a PowerPoint slide, have a category called errors. And there's a lot of errors. He makes a boatload of errors. There's a lot of misconceptions he has, very foolish ideas, and his pride. And so the first error is, he says, what good thing should I do? We're still doing that to this day, asking what good thing can I do? We're trying to make Christianity be something that is sort of manageable. There's nothing manageable about Christianity. Christianity is your whole life. It's like trying to manage a full-grown lion. You basically do what the lion tells you to do. So we don't manage our Christianity. We don't put it in a box. This one was saying, what good thing should I do? Live your life completely and wholly for God. That's the one good thing you should do. That kind of incorporates a whole lot of other things. So that's a serious error. And to this day, I'm telling you, many of you persist in this error. You fast when it's time for communion. You come to church, perhaps on the Saturday of that you're going to have communion. You have sort of a legalistic view of various things. That's an error. It's not one good thing to do. It's everything. It's like asking a parent, what good thing should I do for my child? Well, how about everything? That's what you should do. Everything. So that's his first serious error. And so, it wouldn't be his first serious error. His first serious error was to say, good master, to the Lord before the question. Good master, what good thing shall I do? The Lord rebukes him about calling him good. Because there, he says to him, there is none good but God. So this man was coming up to Jesus just as a great prophet, godly person, somebody he could learn from, but not as the incarnate God. But that fits with his question, because his question is, what good thing? What exactly do I have to do? What's the minimum? What can I get by with? So, looking at Jesus Christ in a sort of offhand way, and to this day we do that. Nowadays we have a Jesus that allows everything, any sin. And we, all, even ourselves, make excuses with our sins. If we truly thought God was good with all of our heart, we wouldn't be so flippant about sin. This is a serious error. It's a way of thinking. It's a whole mindset that is wrong. It's one thing that I really loved when I became an Orthodox Christian was the sense of awe before God. And we have an iconostasis, our priests dress in vestments, there's a sense of order to the service, and a sense of reverence, and a sense of fear and joy at the same time that I never saw anywhere else. It was always a little haphazard no matter where else I went, and a little slipshod and a little roll your own. And a little, back in my day, it was like Jesus is my friend. God is my co-pilot. I did see a funny thing. You know, all these churches that have these funny little things on their signs. You know, some of them are kind of silly. This one kind of got me. It said, if God is your co-pilot, you need to change seats. I thought that was kind of funny. So, these are serious errors that you have to be aware of. And there's only one solution for these errors. One is, don't be so arrogant to think you don't have them. That's really dumb. Because all of us have a tendency to compartmentalize and to make things sort of easy and to be lazy. And if we truly thought God became man and created the universe and we are just a little speck, we'd act with a lot more decorum, a lot more fear. So yeah, we believe it with our head, but the way we live shows we're not really believing it, not by our actions. So let's not be arrogant and think that we're not guilty of these sins. And then the other way to fight these sins is with constant immersion in prayer, fasting, and the reading of the scriptures. Hence, that's why I tell you to do this all the time. I don't even care if you don't understand the scriptures. I don't even care if you're not any good at prayer. That doesn't matter. If you apply yourself, God will teach you. Absolutely. So let's go to another one of the errors. So the Lord, after rebuking him, says, if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And then he says, all these things I have kept from my youth up. That's a whopper. He kept the commandments. All the commandments. Of course, all the commandments are summed up. And he should have known this, because pious Jews did know this, that the commandments are summed up by the greatest commandment in Deuteronomy and the one which is like it in Leviticus. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and all your strength, and to love your neighbors yourself. So he said he kept all the commandments from his youth up? What an arrogant thought. It's a serious error to not be aware of our sins, to not be aware of our weakness, to not cry out to God for help. If you're not aware of your weakness, you're not going to ask God for help. And you won't get help. So let's go to the last big error of the young man. The Lord tells him, keep the commandments. And the young man says, which? Which is another error. Which commandment? How about all of them? How about living completely for God and not for the world? How about if you have to ask which, you obviously have no idea what the commandments are. So he asked that silly question, and the Lord says, okay. He gives him a few of the commandments, not even the most important ones, just some of them. Don't steal, don't commit adultery, don't murder, don't bear false witness. Then he says, I've kept all these. And then the Lord says, oh, okay, this is what you need. If you want to be perfect, sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and come and follow me. But the young man heard that, and he went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. Later on, the Lord amplifies this serious error of this man and says that a rich man hardly can enter into the kingdom of heaven. This man had things that were important to him that were not God. And he held on to them. It doesn't mean that he wasn't a nice guy. That doesn't mean he didn't give alms, wasn't kind to his neighbors. but he had something that he held on to, his riches. And he went away sorrowful because he had all those possessions. So another bullet point of our slide will be instruction. I've already gone through some of it. Why callest me thou me good, the Lord says? There is none good but God. And if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. If you understand what the commandments are, you understand that this is all inclusive. It's not do all these rules or else you will go to hell. The commandments are a reflection of who God is. In a good relationship with a mother and a father, a person, a son or a daughter, doesn't need to be told, do this or do that. They just know what pleases their mother and father. And they know that they never want to shame their mother and father. And they want to live like their mother and father. So they live according to the way they live. Those are the commandments. You keep the commandments because the commandments reflect who God is. That's why the question of which is so silly and even stupid. Because we're following who God is. And so, the other instruction we've already gone through is if you want to be perfect, sell everything you have, give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. So to amplify that a little bit, what he's saying is, this is not about what good thing can I do. It's about, do you want to be perfect or not? Do you all want to be perfect? Is that what you're thinking of every day? What do you associate with being a Christian? A belief system? A culture? Knowledge of music or of various orthodox stuff? Maybe you know icons really well, something like that. What do you associate with being a Christian? I'll tell you what God associates with it. He became man so that we could become perfected. The whole purpose of our life is perfection. Because God is perfect and he wants us to be in his presence. And we can't bear his presence without becoming perfected. The icon behind me of the Transfiguration shows that. The Lord showing his perfection to his disciples and they weren't ready for it. They're falling down the mountain. They're afraid. They're confused. So our life is this traveling from imperfection to perfection. The whole reason why you're alive is to be ready to be in the presence of God. So, if thou wilt be perfect, should be a given. Of course I want to be perfect. If you're not thinking about being perfect, then why are you doing all the stuff you're doing? Why are you associating with Christianity? Christianity is perfection. Christianity is the passions leaving and God coming in. And there will be no passions where God is. There will be no imperfection where God is. All of this is understood if you have the mindset of the church, the mind of Christ. And you attain that especially. That's why I keep telling you this. You attain it through reading the scriptures and prayer, fasting. Some of you aren't very good at fasting. At least do something. That's important. At least do something. Don't do nothing. Don't do nothing. Nobody has any excuse to do nothing. Maybe you're not very good at reading the scriptures. Maybe you don't understand them. Maybe you're very bad at getting in a good habit. Maybe your life seems pretty harried. Okay. Read something. Don't read nothing. Don't have your Bible be the most dusty book in the house. Don't let that happen. Your life depends on it. The same thing with attendance in the services. Some of you only come on Sunday, and sometimes not even on time on Sunday. You can tighten that up if you really want to. Maybe you can't come every time, but you can tighten that up. Anything in which we're not good at, we can get a little bit better. And that's important. Don't give yourself excuses. and then you'll start to improve. And you'll be inching towards perfection. There are promises also that could be in our PowerPoint slide. If thou wilt be perfect. The fact that the Lord said, if thou wilt be perfect, means you can become perfect. Now, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me sometimes, because I'm very unperfect. I guess it's imperfect. See, I already made a mistake. Kind of a metaphor, I guess, huh? There's this cognitive dissonance that occurs in me. And Paul had it too. That which I would do, I do not do. That which I would not do, I do. My heart knows what it wants to do, but it doesn't always do it. But I know it can. With all my heart, I know it can. That's what keeps me going. And when I start to forget a little bit, then I have the scriptures, the services, the Jesus prayer especially, to remind me. We can become perfect. I don't care how imperfect you are right now. I don't care how many foolish things you do, how serious your sins are, how long-lasting they are, how habitual they are, how destructive they are. Do you want to get better? You can get better. That's absolutely a dogma of our faith. So you have to believe it. But believing it is not up here in your head. Believing it is the way you live. And then you get better. So if thou wilt be perfect is a great promise. It is, yeah, you can become perfect. But what do you got to do? You got to sell everything you have. You got to give it to the poor. You got to come and follow Christ. Now those things, for some people, are taken literally. St. Anthony the Great took it literally. He was rich. He heard that. That was it. Sold everything off. Went into the desert. Became Anthony the Great. But it's also metaphorical language. That for anything that you have that you hold on to, stop holding on to it. And at least, if you can't stop holding on to it, at least loosen your grip a little bit, okay? A friend of mine said something I think is very wise, and it applies here. If you can't do the best thing, then do the next best thing. If you can't completely let go of your sins, at least loosen your grip a little bit. That's very important. Christianity is, in one way, all or nothing. But in our daily life, it's not all or nothing. It's little, tiny little imperfect steps towards perfection. Maybe we go 2 forward and 1 back. Just try not to go 2 forward and 3 back. Try to always be going forward, okay? It's really important. So now let's have the last slide of our PowerPoint presentation, which is the take home. What am I going to do because of what this scripture tells me? What are you going to do? You got to take this very personally. If you don't identify yourself with the rich man, then you have missed the boat. Because we're all the rich man. We're poor, but we think we're rich. We hold on to stuff that we shouldn't be holding on to. What ungodly thing are you doing that you need to give up? What ungodly thing that if you give up will make you sorrowful? Maybe getting rid of your cable TV, would that make you sorry? Maybe humbling yourself before someone who's, you just don't want to humble yourself? Is that going to make you sorry? And what is rich? What is worthwhile? What things make you rich? This man thought he was rich and he wanted to keep his money. And he left the creator of the universe, the richest man on the planet. And he left him because he had his little paltry riches. Do you know what's rich? Do you know what's worthwhile? Another question you can ask yourself are you serious? How serious are you about being a Christian? Remember, this young man wasn't completely serious. What good thing can I do? calling the Lord good and not even knowing it was the Lord? How serious are you? May God help us to learn from this example of this man. Don't be asking these questions. What good thing can I do? Don't be saying in your heart that you've kept the commandments. Don't be saying in your heart you're better than any other man. Beg the Lord to help you. Try to be perfect. And you will be perfect then. That's the take home. The take home is Christianity is all of your life, not a part of your life. It's all of your life. And if you need to ask the question, what part of your life is Christian? You don't understand enough about Christianity. It shows you don't understand. So brothers and sisters, let's do a little bit better today and tomorrow. Let's fast a little bit better. Let's pray a little bit more. Let's start to read the scriptures a little bit better. Let's be a little bit more humble. Less argumentative. Let's just take some little baby steps. But all with the intent to do it all. Not to do part of it. To do it all. You're just doing it all according to the best of your abilities. A little bit at a time. And it gets better. May God help us to find paradise in perfection. Amen.